I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for action.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I've been to Vegas four times in my life. The last time I went, I took $800. At the end of night one, I had 50 left. I went to work and created a bundle of cash. You hawk your watch to get out of Vegas.
Hawk your watch?
You lose everything.
Jeff Lutz.
I don't know what that means. Somebody explain that to me. Somebody born in the 30s. I mean, I'll give you what I know, but I don't know much.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
Let's get to Jason Duda, who's in Las Vegas.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sitting with a cocktail.
Woohoo!
This is so proud of my drunkenness. What a look.
I'm not drunk yet.
Oh. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Only the best for your special playtime.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, joined today by Jason Duda, who comprises a three-man booth the day after Labor Day. All the holidays are over now. School's in session. Soccer's going.
What are you talking about? We got Thanksgiving in 2.5 months.
Yeah, but that's way down the road. I need your full cooperation and concentration now.
What is your deal?
For what?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Why not just show up and do a good show?
It just started.
We hadn't even said a word yet, and you're spouting off.
Well, I just have a feeling neither of you are really present.
All right, we can leave.
And I'm not going to do this on my own today.
If we're already not present, we need to be here?
No.
By the way, Jeff, with the win and the picks.
Not a surprise.
Second, Max third, the big fella fourth. I had a terrible week, but I don't really pay attention till Thanksgiving anyway.
Exactly. You want to know what kept You want to know what kept our friend Jason Duda from winning the picks?
What?
Who'd he pick for six?
Lindenwood.
Pretty bad.
0.5. Lost by half a point.
Yeah, but you still lost.
Yeah, I know I did.
And
I know.
You're
but you can't tell me that was
your record on KU games is just awful.
It's trending in the right direction.
What's the strategy on KU this year?
There is no strategy yet. I didn't even see the game, so I was just picking random numbers. I wouldn't have picked them for six, but I only had 6 and 7 left. At least I didn't pick them for 7. See, that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, you did go as low as you possibly could, I guess.
I did. That's all that was available to me.
Beautiful.
So it is what it is.
Anyway, week one, not good. And Jeff just threw darts.
No, I didn't.
Doesn't mean anything.
Those 8 and 7 were so obvious. I mean, Florida lost everything. Yeah. Miami got really good players in the transfer portal. And Clemson was never going to hang with Georgia.
No.
Those were gifts, as Jason Duda likes to say.
They were gifts. I took Georgia for 8. That was the easiest. I was just going to go up the ladder. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 when we were picking. And then you hit Georgia on like the fourth game. And I was like, well, that's a no-brainer.
Too easy. The worst picks that I made were Florida. And as it turns out, West Virginia. West Virginia, answer the bell. You're at home. I know Penn State's pretty good, but come on.
They got crushed.
Destroyed.
And Stanford beat TCU.
Well, you guys both picked West Virginia, too.
Well, you convinced me.
For more points than I did.
I'm never picking West Virginia ever again.
You're playing. Oh, really?
That West Virginia is my KU.
The A&M pick was terrible. You're the only one that picked Notre Dame.
Another easy one.
That was a lucky pick.
No, it wasn't. Notre Dame was always going to win that game. They're ranked in the top 10. Texas A&M was not even ranked. And they have a new coach. I mean, this is easy.
Well, the picks will be different this week. It's not as good a college week. Although our two in-state schools play very interesting games, both on the road. K-State in New Orleans to face Tulane. KU on the road in Champaign to face Illinois. I think both of those games are highly intriguing.
Why does K-State, I get it's like they did the home and home, they play a bunch, but you really need to go to Tulane? You really,
Tulane's a good team.
But that's an American
good program.
Fine. You don't need to play at Tulane.
Well, sure you do.
Why?
Because it's a home and home.
It's pointless.
What do you mean it's pointless?
It's pointless.
It's a great game for them.
Go
on the road. Let's see what we can do.
Feels like a trap game to me.
Don't you like to take your team on the road after week one? Give them a test? See what happens?
Well, I don't see why it's a big deal. I mean,
I wouldn't do it.
Why not? You're
scared of everything.
Does Alabama play road games against AAC schools? No.
You run scared against everything.
What's the standard? I'm not scared. I just think it's dumb.
I don't see it being dumb. Why not go down and get a good win?
Maybe they will, and it'll be an okay win. I think they're favored by over a touchdown. I'm not sure how good Tulane is. I just think the idea of playing a lesser school on the road, KU at a Power 4 opponent in Illinois, I'm fine with that. But going to Tulane, that's just
it's not. They're
foolish.
Not going to Tulane. They're going to New Orleans. You are aware that Tulane's not a place. It's a university.
They're going to Tulane. Though I assume that game will be played somewhat approximate.
Have you ever heard of
the Tulane campus?
A guy that can't get a word out?
It's unusual. So, that him.
So like, if I say
I don't even know what to say.
So if I say a team's playing at Florida State, I have to say they're playing at Tallahassee.
Sure.
I have to say the city now.
I disagree with that. I agree
with
Jeff
thank
on that.
You.
Well, of course you would.
Well, I'm not going to say they're going to Tallahassee to play. No, they're going to Florida State.
Well, that's because you don't know where Tulane is.
It's in New Orleans.
Well, because I just
went over that. Plus, I've known that because we've talked about it on this show multiple times. You go to Tulane in order to go to New Orleans.
So you do learn.
I probably knew more about New Orleans, thinking that Tulane was just an offset place because you wanted to go and party there that day.
You do learn on this show then.
Learn what?
I think he already knew.
I already knew that.
Dude is an avid sports watcher. I think he picks some things up every now and then.
Not a lot, but yeah.
They seep into his brain almost involuntarily.
Where's Rutgers?
I don't know.
New Jersey.
It's up northeast.
Where in New Jersey?
Rutgers.
Well, what's the difference up northeast? It's Rutgers. Rutgers University. Who cares if you know exactly where it's at?
Well, I'm just
what's
asking.
The difference?
You guys are thinking
you're talking
pretty
about
smart.
Their football team.
Neither of you know where Rutgers is.
Where is Rutgers then?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, tell me now.
Yeah.
Piscataway, New Jersey.
Hey, sure about that?
He just looked it up. Didn't you see it?
No, I didn't look it up.
Literally
it's in New Brunswick.
Right there by Piscataway.
Not sure it matter.
It's not Piscataway.
Of course it is.
No, it's not. You can't take the victory on that.
Ohio State is not going to New Brunswick. They're going to Rutgers.
Well,
assuming that game is played, I don't know if it is.
Anyway, very intriguing games for the Wildcats and Jayhawks, who took care of business. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. No.
Well, they're scrimmages. Let's be honest. Those were scrimmage games.
Dylan Edwards had a really nice, dynamic second half in the K-State win. But I don't know what you take from it.
Well, that backfield should be really good.
This week we'll take something from it.
Avery threw a pick. I think, do you have two touchdowns?
Yeah, maybe? It wasn't great. Now.
That's a good game for him to get his feet under.
I have DirecTV. Do you?
No.
Who do you have?
YouTube.
I'm thinking about going that way because DirecTV is having a conflict with Disney.
Shouldn't.
See, we got Hulu and ESPN Plus, so I can get most of those. I can.
Why shouldn't I go YouTube TV?
If you get a Roku Smart TV, you'll
but
be
I'd
so
need
happy.
To get three of them.
No, whatever. Why?
Because I got three places I watch television.
Well, fine. Get three of them.
If I go to YouTube TV, I get them on all three.
Yeah.
Well, go for it then. How are you going to watch baseball?
I don't know. What do I do?
That's not my.
Does MLB have an app on these TVs?
On Roku Smart TVs? Absolutely. So easy.
There's got to be a way. I mean, there's no way they're.
I don't know why anyone doesn't have a Roku Smart TV.
Well, I'm going to go to the people at Hefner.
You get Sling for $55 a month. It has every channel.
Well, I got every streaming channel. I'm spending upwards of $1,000 a month, I'm sure.
I doubt
it. But as I've said on this show,
You can't.
I got plenty of money.
Yeah,
we can tell by the shirt you're wearing.
No big deal.
What's wrong with this shirt?
Nothing. It's very classy.
Is there something wrong with this shirt?
I don't know. I didn't think so, but.
What's wrong with
nothing.
It?
Nothing.
Maybe I'm missing something.
No, tell me.
Are you wearing it? Yeah, I guess it's. Yeah, I don't know.
What?
What are you talking about?
You might be wearing it.
I want to know
inside
this
out.
Answer.
Not wearing it inside,
not inside out.
Out.
No, I thought the buttons were on the wrong
Mr.
side,
T-shirt.
But they're good. Yeah, this is a nice T-shirt. I got my K-State shirt on.
My gosh. Here's what we have for you on the show today. Looks like little Misty Louise needs to go upstairs. We'll take care of that in a moment.
About 10 minutes.
Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star will join us at 2:25. I thought for sure the Royals were on an unbeatable path.
Unbeatable.
And they've been beaten a few times of late.
Who's unbeatable?
I thought they looked like the team.
Why?
Because I've told you a million times, and they'll still beat Cleveland.
They will?
Yeah, they'll beat them tonight like a drum.
Interesting.
At 2:45, Darren Fisher, head football coach at Goddard Eisenhower, due to headed out to a JV soccer game after the show today, Goddard Eisenhower at Mays.
True. First tilt high school.
How excited are you?
I'm kind of excited to go see it. I am. So we'll go check it out.
Then you got a fantasy draft to get home
to. Yeah, so as soon as that final
big
whistle
night.
Blows, it'll be the fastest I'll have run off of stands in a long time.
What position's Jackson playing?
Plays a wing.
Wing guy.
Wing guy, yeah.
Kind of like dudes.
Yep, same thing.
Back in the day.
Do they kick in the ball, and what?
Well, then you run a lot.
With the ball.
You try to get the ball as close to the goal as possible.
Into the middle. And then
does he ever go into the middle?
Sometimes. I don't know. This is going to be all new.
Why do they call him a wing if he's going into the middle?
It's all new. It's totally different now.
Wing score.
I'm going to go see.
Be quiet, Jeff.
Dudes went into the middle.
My interaction.
Yeah, but you're doing a bad job of it.
Yeah, it is a little weak. You could do better.
You know what I'm worried about? You always say I'm worried about the Royals. You know what I'm worried about? The desperation it must take to trade for Yuli Gurriel, and he gets hurt in his second game. I'm not making light of that.
What do you mean you're worried about it?
I'm not worried about it. That's the Royals.
Oh, now he's feeling cocky.
Reek of desperation. Let's go get Robbie Grossman. Are you kidding me?
Cocky.
Let's Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong, both in our lineup in a game that really matters.
Now he's feeling cocky.
Oh, it's.
Isn't it something, the transformation?
Oh, the roller coaster. How many
one
times
guy
have
gets
I said
hurt.
It?
One guy gets hurt, and we scrape the bottom of the barrel.
And just last week, you were lamenting the fact that your team never did anything.
Well, I'd rather have nothing than Robbie Grossman. Is that cool?
Not really, because it goes against everything you were saying.
I wanted them to call up guys, not act in desperation. Which is what the Royals are doing. Just, please.
Tommy Pham's not desperate.
Yes,
he's
he
a
is.
Good
he's
player.
Cooked.
No, he's not.
He's not any good.
He's as good as anything you got.
Oh, didn't seem like it yesterday.
Well, you know what? I sent you a nice text. I wish I could
was
take
it nice?
Back.
Congrats. That's all I got.
Well, what'd you send him, dudes?
Nothing. And I won't do it tonight either.
Why not?
I'm busy.
What's wrong with congrats?
I was in attendance yesterday. Nothing's wrong with congrats.
Better than ignoring you.
I didn't feel like it was completely heartfelt, but it was fine.
Well, I was happy, but now I'm not.
Why?
Because I don't like the way
The Cardinals were in first and the Cubs go get every player available off of waivers and these guys who are past their prime, Yuli Gurriel, who hit 230.
Well, he's been hitting pretty well.
Hit 230 last year with the Marlins. You'd laugh, too.
He'd hit pretty well with the Royals.
Well, he's had two games.
Exactly. He's had two games.
That's what they need. They're not looking for 160 out of the guy.
They only need him to play about 25.
Well, he got hurt rounding first base. What does that
tell you? Well, it's a mild hamstring. It looks like he's day-to-day.
Dude, when you're my age, which he is, and you pull a hammy, there's no day to day. I've never pulled
a
hammy.
He has a mild hamstring strain.
That's the same thing.
It is.
As pulling a hammy?
Yeah, you pull your hammy, you have a strain. That's pretty.
No, you pull the hammy. A strain's not a pulled hamstring.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. That's why it's a strain.
Oh, my
you
God.
You pulled the hamstring.
You guys.
Not, it's not like a grade three or a terrible, but it's a pulled hamstring.
You guys collectively make up a pretty substandard IQ.
This is always unbelievable. This is always what you go to when you're wrong.
You know you're wrong.
Go to the insults.
You know you're wrong.
It's not an insult. It's real.
No, it's not.
A mild hamstring strain versus a pulled hamstring is different.
No, it's not.
How is it different? So,
Dr. Rockley,
what happened if he's got a strain?
Because you pull the hamstring off the muscle with a pulled hamstring.
That's a torn hamstring.
That's a torn hamstring.
Right. A pulled hamstring.
No.
It's pulled off the muscle.
Good grief.
Don't you understand
that? You are struggling.
You're going to fight it. I know you are, and I appreciate it, but you are wrong.
And that's okay, but admit it.
You know what you two have?
A torn hamstring and a pulled hamstring.
You know what you have? A pulled brain.
Yeah, well, it's been that way for a while.
Well, where's your brain located?
Where is your brain on this subject?
My God, I've been dealing with this stuff my entire life.
Insults.
What?
It's straight to the
unreal.
Let's
unbelievable.
Yeah, Google it.
I will.
Strained hamstring versus pulled hamstring. Do that.
I thought you said torn. You said pulled hamstring is off the bone, but that's a torn hamstring.
Pulled hamstring.
Okay, well, we'll...
That guy pulled his hamstring. He's done.
A hamstring strain can be a pull, a partial tear, or a complete tear. Muscle strains are graded according to their severity. A grade 1 strain is mild and usually...
Who's that, Dr. Ruth you're reading from? What website is that?
OrthoInfo.
OrthoInfo.
There you go.
They've been
a hamstring tear or strain, also called a pulled hamstring, is an injury to one of the back muscles in the back of the thigh.
Well, they've been debunked.
That's from Mercy Health.
They've been debunked so many times.
They have. That's good.
you can't go to anywhere that doesn't debunk Mercy Health.
Really?
That's of course funny. Not.
Seems like we're all in agreement. There's only one thing here that doesn't belong.
One guy on an island.
Wonder who
refusing
that
to sail
my
to
safety. My point being, the Royals, I'm a little sorry they've faltered like this.
Well, good.
But
that's unfortunate that you feel that way when your son needs
you know what the Royals have
a
done
World
for League
Series.
42?
You know what the Guardians have done?
Nothing for
CC
League 42.
CC Sabathia.
He's not a Guardian.
He's in the Guardians Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God.
Which he left to come to Wichita.
And he said that if he goes into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, he'll have a Yankees cap.
When did he say that?
Plaque. He said that.
When?
Well, I don't know. Look it up. Look up.
You're just making stuff up.
Look up Mercy Health.
Let's go back to the well. What's it tell us?
Of course he's going to have a Yankees hat.
Why?
Because that's where he had his best years.
No, he had his best years winning a Cy Young in Cleveland.
Well, I don't believe that'll happen. I don't like him in a Cleveland hat. And by the way, if he goes in as a Cleveland person, does he put on the Indians hat or the Guardians hat?
He puts on the C hat. He did say that. That's garbage.
That's all it takes.
I'm done with him. Why did I even introduce myself to him?
There you go.
Oh, you did you?
You know what? I'm going to start a campaign against CC Sabathia for the Hall of Fame.
You just go right ahead.
I will.
One of the most genuine, nice
people. One of the biggest traitors you'll ever see.
Here he goes again.
He played longer with New York.
Who cares? We brought him up. We developed him. We got him to the big leagues at age 20. He won a Cy Young for us.
It does feel good when a player who has choices. Picks your team. I know I was very happy that Scott Rolen picked the Cardinals to put on his hat when he was inducted. Because he could have gone Phillies, no question. But he picked the Cardinals. Felt good. I liked it.
I get it.
Jim Thome picked us.
Well, that's fine.
Kenny Lofton should be in the Hall of Fame, probably would pick us.
But CC didn't.
Unfortunate.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, we will carry on this Royals conversation with Jalen Thompson, beat writer from the Kansas City Star. Game two of the three-game set against the Guardians tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Cleveland yesterday with a 4-2 win in game number one. Now lead the Royals by 4.5 games, 3.5 up over Minnesota. Back in a moment, Jalen Thompson.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star, their beat writer for the Kansas City Royals. Again, game two of that series against Cleveland tonight at the K. It'll be heard right here on KFH. Jalen, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing? You said 1969. That's when the Royals first started playing. Pretty crazy.
There you go. That is a long time ago. What's not a long time ago was last Wednesday, when the Royals were going for a sweep, game two of a doubleheader, had a 5-2 lead against Cleveland.
That was the fourth game of the series.
It looked like Cleveland was down and out. They came back and won that game. They've been playing much better since, and the Royals, the bottom has kind of fallen out. What's happened here?
Well, a lot of things have happened. You know, you see Vinny Pasquantino go down with an injury. Right thumb injury. He says that he wants to come back, but it looks like his regular season is going to be over unless the Royals make the playoffs. The Royals also ran into a lot of strong pitching. I mean, you look at what the Guardians had in that series and then carrying over to what the Astros did those four games. It's just a rough patch right now. The Royals are trying to figure it out. Everyone is staying upbeat and positive. They believe that just focus on today, like their mindset has been all year, and things will turn around. But as you've seen, going on and getting veteran guys like Tommy Pham and Yuli Gurriel and Robbie Grossman, trying to fix whatever you kind of lost with Vinny going down, and also trying to stay afloat. That's kind of what it feels like right now. And, you know, all was not lost. The Royals are still leading in the wild card spot over the Boston Red Sox. But they won the division, and, you know, that's kind of slipping right now.
Do you see any – I don't know if – failure might be a strong word, but do you see anything lacking in the Royals player development? Obviously, Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez, there have been several guys that have panned out that have gone through their system. But when they need to go to guys like Tommy Pham, the guys you mentioned, Robbie Grossman, Yuli Gurriel, Paul DeJong, down the stretch, does that say something about how the Royals are developing position players that they can't, you know, promote within?
I don't think so. I think it's just those guys have had playoff experience. And, you know, when you're in a playoff race for really the first time with the young core, you don't really know what it takes to really get there because you've never done it before. And as much as you can rely on a Will Smith, Chris Stratton, you know, the guys they brought in, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Adam Frazier, and the like, you still need more. The team is so young. They're still just trying to do this thing. And, you know, a lot of those guys, like I mentioned, those were like pitchers outside of, you know, Frazier and whatnot. You got to have veterans on the position side as well that can help you get there. And I think it's nothing against what they've done. They got a lot of good young players in the system. You know, you mentioned, you've seen what Drew Waters can do up here, but he just hasn't panned out when you need him over the long haul. Same with Nick Prado. So those kind of guys, you know, they still need time to develop at the major league level, and time is not what the Royals have right now. So you go get guys that have done it before, are doing it before, and you see what you can do.
Well, in your opinion, what is going to be either the Royals' downfall for the rest of this season or what is going to spring them into the playoffs? Is it going to be offense, defense, pitching? Where are you at with that?
I think it's going to be offense. They have to score runs. You can't rely just on Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. And you were relying on Vinny Pasquantino, but he's not there right now. He's injured, like you said. So it's got to be the offense. It's got to be someone other than those two guys in the at the top of the order. You got to have production throughout the whole lineup. Maybe that is a Paul DeJong that has shown he is very valuable when he plays consistently. Maybe it is Freddie Fermin getting more opportunities. Maybe one of Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman, or you, Gurriel Sparks. But it's got to be someone else. You can't go into this playoff run with two guys. You got to have five or six. That's how the good teams get it done. And the Royals just don't have that right now. I think the starting pitching will be fine. You've seen some good starts out of Seth Lugo. You see some good starts out of Michael Walker. They'll get Michael Lorenzen back. You've seen Cole Reagans and Brady Singer continue to do well. The bullpen, you got Lucas Hersteg. He'll be there. Can someone else step up there? But I think offense is the biggest question if the Royals are going to either make it or break it in this playoff run.
Talking with Jalen Thompson, he covers the Royals for the Kansas City Star. So Pasquantino goes out, 97 RBIs taken out of that lineup. Protection for Bobby Witt. How do they protect Bobby Witt? Yesterday they moved Michael Massey to the three-hole. They had Tommy Pham leading off. What are they going to do, in your opinion, Jalen, to make sure that teams don't just pitch around Bobby Witt and make someone else in that lineup hurt you? Because when you had Witt and Pasquantino, really had to pick your poison.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to figure that out just at the present moment. You saw, like you said, you had Michael Massey be there. He's a great contact hitter. He's someone that can display some power when he gets a hold of one. But you need more. Maybe you leave Salvi in that three spot. Maybe you leave him there. And you maybe put a Paul DeJong behind him or MJ Melendez. Tommy Pham is great at the top of the lineup, as we've seen. He had two hits in Houston, and yesterday the team only had two hits in general. So, I mean, can't really count yesterday's game. But I think you have to just fuel Bobby Witt Jr. and insulate him with guys that can get on base, guys that can get in scoring position. Maybe you do it from the bottom up. Maybe you put a speedster at the bottom of the lineup, and then you have two guys on when Bobby comes up. It's just different ways you have to attack it, but they have to figure it out.
What would be your order, presuming that Kansas City plays in a best-of-three wild card series? What would be your order, and I don't mean to lead you in any particular direction for how the pitching would go, but Michael Wacha is the only starter they have who has started a postseason game. Do you think they would take that into account when they're deciding maybe between him and Singer?
Yeah. I think if you're looking at a three-game lineup, you have to go with who got you there. So I would say you start off with maybe Seth Lugo. You know, he's a veteran. He's been there before. He's been your best pitcher all year. Then maybe you throw in Cole Reagans and or Wacha. I think Wacha has to be one of those guys you pitch in that three-game series because of the experience that he brings. I don't necessarily know the order of where they would want to do it, but I believe one of Lugo, Reagans, and Wacha has to be it. And Singer has been great. But remember, that he will also be his first playoff experience. I don't know if they would want to throw him out there in that high stakes that early, but he definitely can do it. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was one of the guys they put up in there.
Well, and you know, you talk a three-game, if you're getting three guys there, but if you're in a one-game playoff, which guy are you going to throw out there? I mean, you got Lugo, you could throw out Reagans, but do you go with the guy with the most experience, or do you go with somebody else?
If it was me, I would probably go Seth Lugo, only because he has shown that he can be dynamite. He has so many different pitches that he can use to counteract whatever an offense will throw at him. And if you need to win a game, you go with him because you know he's going to give you quality starts. And then from there, it's all hands on deck. Maybe you'd see all three of the starters, four of the starters, if there's a one-game scenario where you have to win. But I would go Seth Lugo because he's just been the most consistent this year, and you know that he's going to keep you in the game.
All right, we're talking with Jalen Thompson. I'll go back to what Jeff asked, and I agree with you. It's better to have players who are a little bit experienced with this kind of a push in September. But I think the larger point would be, how sustainable is this Royals team? They've had a lot of things go right. Now, lately, not so much. They've been bitten by the injury bug. but their free agents have worked out, their trades have worked out. That's certainly not something that happens all the time. So when we get to 2025, how important is it to supplement this lineup with maybe some younger players? How much do you believe this pitching, which has been so good this year, can hold up over the next season or two?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I agree with you. I think looking forward to 2025, everyone's going to get a year older. So you're going to, those veterans that you're leaning on now are going to be a year older. And are they still going to be here? Like you said, you got to have some young guys that step up. I think that the young core of Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, MJ Melendez, and the like are all going to be where you need them to be. Michael Massey's in that mix, Michael Garcia. But they still have to continue to take steps. Like this, no one expected the Royals to be where they are right now outside of the clubhouse. This team has vastly overachieved. I mean, that's just, if we were calling it straight, they've overachieved. They've exceeded expectations. Now it's just, can they take the next step forward in 2025? Because while you snuck up on some teams this year, probably being just how great you are and how competitive that they've been, next year that won't be the case. They know the Royals are coming. They know what the Royals have. Like you said, you have to add in some guys from the minor leagues. Who's going to take that next step? Is it going to be – does Drew Waters take that next step? Like you mentioned him. Is it someone in the minor league system as a pitcher? Do they come up? Do they view Jack Caglione as the next guy that continues to work well in the minor leagues next year and he comes up in 2026? These are things you got to look at. But they're in a good spot, I believe, and I think that it's just all about – how can we get better one day at a time, one step at a time? And that's what they believe.
So this is kind of a question just out of curiosity, because I was at the game yesterday, and while I am a Cleveland fan, I was really excited as a baseball fan to get to see Emmanuel Clase against Bobby Witt, and then two batters later against Salvador Perez, kind of with the game on the line. Have those guys talked about what it's like to face Clase, especially in those type of situations?
Yeah, they live for those matchups. You know, it's good on good. It's best on best. I think they relish the opportunity to play some of the best guys in the league. And Class A has just really nasty stuff. I believe he's only given, like, four runs this year, I believe. I mean, he's really great coming out of the bullpen. And the Royals, they've had success against him in previous years. But this year, he's just been dominant. And I think that when you're in those situations, you only can learn from those situations. Because every time you see him, every time that you see what he brings to the table, you are able to get a better picture of what you can do to counteract that. So I think for Bobby, for Salvi and those guys, yeah, they might have got beat last night. But if they get in that situation again, as Bobby's shown when he did last year, hit that grand slam against Duran, against the Twins, who also throws 100 miles per hour, he can definitely change the tide of the game.
All right, Jalen, that question, by the way, was asked by my son, a devout Guardians fan,
I told him
only to get you to sing the praises of Emmanuel Clase. You could have very easily declined to answer, and I would have been in your corner.
Not true, Jalen. I was genuinely curious, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, sure, for sure.
Jalen, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you, and we'll get with you as the postseason approaches.
Perfect. Thank you guys for having me on. I always love chatting with you guys. I really appreciate it.
We love it too. Thank you, Jalen.
Thank you, guys.
Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star. You got that. I mean, you.
Well, how didn't you? It's always like that, though.
There are two things.
And I don't blame them. I mean, why not? Take a shot when you can.
I mean,
right?
that's electric, though, when you're in the stadium and it's Clase against Witt. I mean, that's, you can't ask for anything better. There were two things I wanted to see yesterday, which was a John Kinsey Noel home run. Didn't get that, but we got Lane Thomas's first homer as a guard,
which was a shock to everybody.
He's been hitting well.
What?
He has.
Wasn't when he first got there.
He's been hitting pretty well for about 2 weeks now. And I wanted to see Clase pitch with the lead. I don't think I've ever seen him pitch before. That was pretty amazing.
Good for you. We're all pretty happy for you.
Thank you.
Dude is, for sure.
Of course I am.
Of course you are.
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
How you work. It's everybody against Bob today. That's okay.
As it should be.
I'll meet the challenge. From 1967, Darren Fisher joins us on the IHOP hotline. The head football coach at Goddard Eisenhower. They open their 2024 season Thursday night at home against Valley Center, coming off a season in which they reached the semifinals of the Class 5A playoffs, lost to Cape and Mount Carmel. Darren, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Exciting. We got some good weather, and football's right around the corner, so I'm doing good.
So do you feel like you are at the point now, because high school football is based so much on tradition and years of success, do you feel like you're at that point with Eisenhower where the success has been around long enough that you can kind of tout your tradition?
You know, I mean, we do pride ourselves on building a culture and starting a culture when I took over. And that was one thing that we wanted to do here was create traditions. And we really wanted to, you know, set a standard for guys that, hey, we want to win here and we want to win consistently. And we want to win league titles. And we want to hang banners. You know, and I think it's always a work in progress. I don't think you ever think that you've made it or success is always going to come. I think each year brings new challenges, but you know, we set the standard of, hey, we're here to win football games.
Yeah, did last year when you made, I believe, the Final Four, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so does that feel like a jumping off point? Do you feel like there's more work to be done? Do you feel like it's more of a rebuilding year? I know you've got your quarterback back, your best receiver, and some other pieces. So what's the kind of the mentality going into this year?
You know, is polish. You know, there's some certain things we watch through some of the games. You know, some different.
We lost him.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happens. That's not my fault, certainly.
Well, who said it was? Nobody said it was your fault.
Good grief. Is that what you go to immediately?
Right away. Come on.
No one thought that. Relax, man.
Max didn't do it on purpose. Maybe his cell phone went down. It just happens.
Well, the way Jeff was looking at me.
I don't think I was.
In what way? I gotta stick up for him again because you're all over him, but it really wasn't nothing he did.
I'm not all over him. He just looked at me like, what'd you do?
Dude is speaking truth today.
Well, because he's on your side on every matter.
No, I believe he's speaking truth.
Here's Darren Fisher. Darren, we lost you.
I'm sorry, guys. You know,
you're talking
about tradition and where
Eisenhower is at this point in time.
Yeah, you know, we want to play to the strength of our players, but we don't want to do too much where we're overhauling. You know, and I think that's the art of coaching. Is how do I put some plays in and have some designs that can give guys success. And each year it's different. And I, you know, that's why I think, you know, the good coaches, you know, they'll have little wrinkles. They look just a little bit different and stuff to play to their guys' strength. And so, you know, that's what we try to really look at is how can we best suit this kid that we feel like is our good player and how can we make him successful and make our team successful.
Well, and obviously with turnover with players and that sort of thing, do you find yourself going back to plays that you've had before? Do you stay with what you have, or do you kind of structure these plays and to the players that you have? Because it's got to be difficult.
Egom.
Well, now that's Duda's fault.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
For that question, Darren said, I'm leaving. He'll be back.
Will he? Do we? Okay.
Well, I want to talk to him.
We give a guy a third chance?
Sure we do.
It's weird because it's not like he's breaking up or cutting out.
No, and that's what I don't understand. I don't understand.
He's dropping us.
No, I don't think he's dropping us.
His phone is dropping us.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to give him three strikes. He's liable to hit one out of the park the next time we get him back.
You never know. He could.
We look forward to it. Max will let me know when we have him. And we'll move on.
Maybe he'll say to heck with it.
Well, that could
he might.
Be.
This isn't working. Well, I got to go to practice. I'm out.
What am I doing? I got other things.
There's a real possibility that Coach Fisher will boycott this show from here on out.
A chance.
And who could really blame him?
No, I'm sure other people have. It won't be the first, won't be the last.
Here is Darren Fisher.
What was your question again, dude?
Football coach at Goddard Eisenhower. And
with all the turnover,
we're going to make this work.
With all the turnover, coach, and different players and your plays that you have, do you try to structure your plays more to the players aspect, or do you try to keep things the same way that you've always done it?
You know, we keep it offensively and defensively. We try to keep the base and the main thing, and then we try to build answers off of that. Now, depending on a certain kid, there may be certain differences we make with, hey, this kid, we may have to hold a double team longer versus where we have a kid who, hey, this guy can take him as a solo block. And, you know, maybe this kid reads it a little differently. We're going to make sure that this play is designed where he's going to hit here versus where a running back before could read between two different holes. So, you know, we try to make sure we have offenses and defenses where we have answers for kids to be successful and not saying, this is just what we do, and if you don't fit it, then you can't play here. So, you know, each year we try to keep primarily the base things that we do, but we have different answers and different things to make it help new kids that are coming into the system.
What can you tell us about your quarterback and what he brings to the table? And you have your top receiver returning also, and that quarterback, of course, is Derek Morgan.
He's grown substantially. He had an amazing year last year. You know, and it's little things that he's starting to pick up on. And
he's gone. See,
well, you guys, this clown show you're putting on.
Well, it's you, man. You're supposed to be directing this, and you're looking all around.
Well,
like,
I ask a question.
Somebody help me.
Then do to ask a question.
Right, and then
you ask.
And it's your turn.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to do.
I asked Duda. We go around in this little circle here.
Well,
I had a
great question lined up for him.
I think
get him back,
it.
Bob?
Maybe we try to get him on another time. At some point, it just looks amateurish.
Should I try him again?
Let's try to get Darren another time. Although, man, I'm very interested in that team. They started the year last year 7-0. They lost the game at Goddard in their rivalry game.
Yeah.
Then they won three games. They got to the semifinals of the 5A playoffs. They were down 42-17 against Capen. They came back to make that 42-39. Remember that game? We were
not
all
really
following it, and I was on pins and needles. I really was.
Well, that's good.
Like, I saw.
Man, this comeback is amazing.
You didn't think I knew what the quarterback's name was, did you?
No, I didn't. And you came up with it at the last minute.
What do you mean? I had that the whole time.
Well, then why didn't you mention it?
I wasn't scrolling around looking for it at all.
Of course you were.
But thought it was seamless.
Seamless.
That's what I had.
You know, Darren's a nice guy. I don't know him personally. But I wanted to ask him about that Goddard game, which is coming up in week two this year. Their rivalry. I'm fascinated by Mays South, Andover Central, Goddard Eisenhower, where we have the two high schools in the community. That rivalry has always fascinated me. How do you feel about it, being a Mays guy? What do you think about Mays South?
Well, it's always fun to have a rivalry. I mean, it's the same thing with your baseball teams or your football teams. When you have a rivalry, it's more fun. The fans are involved. You always want to do better than that school. It's just, rivalries are great. Now that I'm in high school, and obviously with my son playing soccer, we look forward to the May South game because we've played with all those kids that are playing over there, and you've played against them. So, of course, it's way more fun, way more intense. It's great.
It'll be fun. You'll have a fun year.
Everybody's having a lot of fun.
Jackson will have some fun playing soccer. Never thought I'd put those words together, but he will.
Well, as soon as you get out there, now you can come watch a high school game.
Well, one of these 4:45 games, I'm going to go.
When you first said you were going to come out, he was in kindergarten.
Well, now it's, you know, I'm what? More of a get-to-high-school kind of guy.
Oh, that was it. Okay, well, that makes sense. I didn't realize you were going to wait 9 years, but that's okay.
I'm excited about the opening of high school football and soccer and whatever else is going on in high school sports. But football's always had that that it's kind of special.
Kinda.
You hear me?
What are we talking about?
High school football.
My mind is elsewhere.
Mays opens at Goddard.
That'll be fun, right?
That'll be an interesting.
I don't know.
Open.
I have no idea if that'll be fun. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't.
Well, you don't know high school football the
I
way
don't
I do
yet. Who's name one player for Mays? Exactly.
Well, I don't know a player right now.
That's
but when
so
we
how
get
do we
Gary
know if they're
Guzman
good
on, I'll have done the homework. I won't be scrambling around. How's your quarterback? And by the way, his name's Jalen Morgan.
Derek Morgan,
whatever,
you idiot.
I'll know his name going in without.
Well, I did. I had it in front of me, but you were supposed to ask the next question. Then I had to turn my phone back on.
It didn't go well.
I think I remember stuff like this.
It didn't go well for you.
No, not really.
We all have rough days.
Do you have any players for Mays that you want to shout out?
Well, not for Mays. I'm not going to say I know everybody on the football team.
And you shouldn't be expected to.
I didn't say everybody.
I'm just putting you on the spot.
I know a lot of the boys on the soccer team and obviously the tennis teams because those are the sports I go to watch.
Can you tell me who the quarterback is of Mays?
Why are you doing this? I'm just asking.
What did I just tell you? No.
You said you don't know every player. I'm asking if you know one.
No, Jeff, I don't know any of them.
Fine.
That was all done to make Jeff
feel
better.
No, it wasn't. I don't either. But he has kids going there.
See, there it is.
I bet.
I do.
I bet I could name some people from Andale last year.
I bet you couldn't.
Of course I could.
Name the quarterback this year.
Spexarth.
No, wrong.
Eck.
Yeah, you're just guessing.
It's just an embarrassment. See, I was on
Marks.
Your side for most of the day. And then you go and do something like this.
Why'd you turn on
out.
Jason?
I didn't.
Now you're out.
But he's asking me like I'm giving him the third degree. All I asked is, do you know any players for Mays?
What did I ask?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You ask him if they run the same plays year to year.
Of course,
they tweak them.
No wonder he hung up.
That's his philosophy. He's going to run the same. Basically, you're going to.
But he said,
they
don't run. They have to change some things up.
Well, sure,
for the players,
duh.
And that's where I was going with it.
Well, of course they got to change some things up.
Well, then, don't run the exact same thing all the time.
But didn't you know that going in?
Not really. Some coaches, no, you run it this way, you're done.
Find a coach like that.
Well, growing up, Bob, when we were in, did they do everything that you wanted, or did they say, no, this is the way we're doing it, and figure it out? A lot of coaches did that. They didn't just say, Bobby, oh, good for you. Oh, you want to do something else? We'll change everything up for the rest of the team so you can feel more comfortable.
It's a mix. You got
to
adapt.
That's not how it works. Just don't even get involved in that. You'll lose this conversation.
No, you adapt.
And you don't lose
every conversation today.
All coaches adapt. They have a core belief, but if they're not going to do the same exact thing year to year. My goodness, you two.
Oh yeah, it's got to be us.
I'm going to talk to Tony.
I mean, it really is. It's got to be us.
Can't be you.
No.
Let's take a break.
Oh, we need one.
We've got an hour left. We got a game coming up hour number 2.
I didn't know Duda was going to be here, but it can be.
You want him to do password?
It can be a two-person game.
Well, yeah, we'll do one, and I'll throw my two bits in. I want to see.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, you hammer Bob with it, and then I'll throw my two bits in.
You can be a bystander with a microphone.
I love it.
It's a competition game. It'll be fine.
I just
figured Max would be playing, but you'll play. No offense, Max.
Well, Max, erase the last 20 minutes from history. We'll be back.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
Oh. If you're too cheap to buy the NFL Sunday ticket, then what you do is you go to a bar.
Woohoo!
Jeff Lutz.
Go find a bar. I'm going to sit in a bar, which I never go to.
It's not realistic. It's crazy.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
What am I supposed to do?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
About? My mind is elsewhere.
Beautiful. We are back. Hour number 2, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Got the 3-man booth for you today. Jason Duda in. We'll have a game a little bit later. NFL season kicks off this week, of course. And what a kickoff on Thursday night. Chiefs at home to face the Ravens. Rematch of the AFC Championship game last year, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
That is correct.
In which Baltimore really flubbed, and Lamar Jackson was basically not there.
He didn't unleash the way
we thought he would.
Thought he might,
but he didn't. Well, and he hasn't.
That's the problem. Everybody's been waiting for him to do it in the playoffs, and he, needless to say, can't quite get it done. That's just
the way it is. Let me ask you right now, will the Chiefs win their third consecutive Super Bowl, Jeff?
I have such a hard time saying that they won't win the Super Bowl this year, but it's also hard to say that a team will win three in a row. Does that make any sense?
Sure does.
I think they're the best team. If that, I don't want to hedge, you know. If that equates to winning another Super Bowl, then fine. I think someone is going to have to really take it from them. But I don't see Patrick Mahomes giving it to anybody. So, yeah, I'll say, yeah, they'll win it again.
I would contend, and we'll ask Duda his thoughts, I would contend that the Chiefs are better than last year when they weren't top of the world until they got to the playoffs. They had some slip-ups. Their offense was, at times, not that good.
At times?
I think they've,
a lot of times.
I think they've improved the offense to the point where I think it will be more like the high-powered offense we saw early in Patrick Mahomes' career. They've probably taken a step or two back on defense, but I still think it's a pretty good defense. Will the Chiefs win their third straight?
Well, if you're asking me if a team's going to win a championship before the season starts, and that's my only pick, I'm always going to say no. And the reason is there's too many variables and intangibles that can happen throughout the year. Injuries, of course, number one. Kelsey's 35 years old. For him to play 17 regular season games is going to be tough. Patrick Mahomes, God forbid nothing happens to him. If anything does, the Chiefs will not win.
You don't like Carson Wentz?
Well, they got a good backup. I'll give you that. But Carson Wentz isn't Patrick Mahomes.
No.
On the same side, Chris Jones on the defensive side. You lose him and another guy, all of a sudden your defense is struggling. So if you're ever going to ask me on whether or not a team is going to win it before the season, I'm going to say no because I'm going to take the other 30 teams that are out there.
Who's the guy who went to the Texans, the defensive back? I'm bad at names.
I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, I like.
Gosh, what was it? What is it?
I know. He was one of the best guys.
Yeah. All pro guy.
Yeah.
Sneed. Lavarius Sneed.
L'Jarius Sneed.
So
I think they're going to miss him a lot.
Of course they'll miss him.
Not just the way he plays and his talent, but he has a presence about him, too. And he's a leader, so that's tough.
Well, they have some. They have, like I said, defensively, they may take a step back, at least initially, until they get it all figured out. But look at this offense. Now you still have Mahomes, obviously. Isaiah Pacheco, they just added Samaje Perine. He's going to be a better backup. They've got Rashee Rice, who somehow wasn't suspended.
Right. Will he be, though?
Like, well, if they were going to do it, wouldn't you do it before
Jordan
now?
Jordan Addison hasn't been suspended either for the DUI. And they were talking about maybe they suspend him after one game, which I don't understand.
Well, I don't get that either. But you right now you have Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy. Patrick Mahomes had no deep threat last year. The guys that were couldn't catch the ball. Now he's loaded with them.
Yeah, he's got a couple at least.
This offense is going to be really good.
And they brought back Juju, which I don't think is nothing. I think he still has something left.
And they have Sky Moore, and they built their depth at tight end.
Well, he's
Noah
bad.
Gray's okay. So Kelsey won't be depended upon to play maybe as much as he has in the past. Their offensive line's good. They're going to tear it up offensively.
Well, I'm not saying that they won't. And I'm not saying if you're going to pick a preseason favorite that you wouldn't take the Chiefs right now. If I had to pick a team as of right now, they've won the last two. They've upgraded on offense. I would pick them. But it's hard to pick a team when you got 30 other teams out there and you don't know what's going to happen. So
well, sure
for
it
me
is.
Right now, no. I would say if I'm taking the Chiefs to the field, I'm taking the field. But if I had to pick one, it would probably be the Chiefs.
Well, then what you've done is dodged the question.
I didn't dodge the question. That's the only logical answer. That's the only logical answer.
You said you're going to pick the Chiefs to win their third straight. That's what you said.
Picking them to win their third straight. I'm not picking
them
to win
the third.
He said
if he was forced to pick one team, he would pick the Chiefs.
Okay, you're picking a team to win it all. Who is it?
If I'm picking a team to win it all, I got $100. I got to put it on somebody before the season starts.
Right.
I'm playing San Francisco because the NFC is way easier to get out of than the AFC.
How in the world can you pick San Francisco?
I'm not sure they'll be as good as they were.
They might not be. But who else over there besides maybe Detroit are you going to take?
I like Detroit. I think Detroit's been getting a lot of love, and I'm not sure I completely understand that. I know they were in the NFC Championship game last year and almost won it, probably should have won it, but I worry about their receivers.
I worry about their coach.
No, their coach is awesome.
And he's a good coach, but you put him in a situation that calls for a little bit of calmness and – I don't know. That guy scares me.
Dan Campbell we're talking about.
Of course that's who we're talking about.
Well, we got to name him. We can't just say, hey, if you were writing a story, you wouldn't say, hey, Detroit's coach said this.
I don't want him to ever get conservative, but I want him to know when the right time is to maybe pull the reins back a little. Because I think that cost them a game last year.
I think the NFC might be a little better than you're giving them credit for. Dallas and Philly both should be good. The NFC South is terrible. The NFC West has, but in that Central Division, you have the Lions, Bears, and Packers. And it's going to be tough to get through all of those five or six other teams.
Well, we'll see as long as you buy into the Bears and Packers.
Which I'm not buying into the Bears and Packers.
You're not buying into the Packers?
The Packers are going to be good. Packers are going to be good, but I'm not buying them in to be in the Super Bowl team yet. In a year or two, then I think so, but not right now.
I don't know.
If you throw them out, and who else do you have in the NFC then? Throw those two teams out. Who else do you have?
Philly.
Philly, defense is terrible.
We'll see on Philly.
Be tough. I think the only two teams you have that are going to be battling there is Detroit and probably San Francisco. So
The Rams are always worth keeping an eye on because they do have a very good coach and they have a very good quarterback. Matthew Stafford
and good receivers and a good running back.
An elite top-flight guy. I'd keep an eye on the Rams. And I think, I'm just saying this, and you disagree, but I think the Bears are going to be really good. And some of that is because the NFC is not that good. But I just think Caleb Williams is in that C.J. Stroud mold.
That doesn't come along very often, though. That to me is an outlier and an anomaly for guys that come in their first year.
Outlier and anomaly.
Not necessarily.
Look it up.
Again, we're going to look it up again.
I don't want to. I'm tired of
looking
things up.
Here we go. Look it up.
Tired of being right.
I like Caleb Williams.
Fine. But he's going to go through some growing pains.
As did C.J. Stroud.
Not really.
But he made the Texans immediately better, and that's what this guy will do. Plus, they have a good team around him.
I'm aware. Their offense is good, but sometimes his decision-making has been lacking. We'll see. I think he'll get there eventually. I don't think he's Justin Fields, but it might take some time.
You know, would you rather have what the Chiefs have, and they got a very good offense? Or would you rather have DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze?
So let's make...
And Cole Kmet as your tight end.
Let's make the trade Swift, Allen, Odunze, Moore, and Kmet for Pacheco, Brown, Worthy,
Rice,
and Kelsey. I don't think I'd do that if I were the Chiefs.
Probably not.
I don't think I'd do that.
I agree with Jeff on that.
But you have to think about it.
Yeah, think
There's
about it.
There's not a lot of teams in the NFL that you would have to think about.
But here's the thing with that. So you're talking about the outlying players, but then you're leaving the two most important ones there. Caleb Williams, Patrick Mahomes. Huge difference.
It's a big difference.
Maybe.
Huge. Maybe,
come on.
Maybe Hughes.
What is it with you and the Bears when they draft
loves
a quarterback?
The Bears.
Oh,
maybe Hughes.
Go be a Bears guy.
We had a huge fight over this with Justin Fields 5 years ago.
So hey, who would
Jerry's
you take
still
here?
Out on Justin Fields.
Mixon, Diggs, Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, or the Chiefs?
Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs guys.
It's close. Texans have a lot of weapons.
To me, those are the three you look at.
There's no others?
And then maybe Baltimore.
What about the Jets sneakily? The tight end's not good, but Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson's a pretty good starting
good,
point.
They're pretty good, but they're pretty good. Well, you'd have to look at the 49ers, too.
Dolphins. There's some teams out there
that have the weapons. There's no question about that.
What about the Raiders?
But the Dolphins defense.
Who is even on that team?
The Raiders have a team this year?
You know what? You guys can take all the shots you want.
It's Zamir White.
They got they
Adams,
at least have a good defense.
Jacoby Myers.
Zamir White, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, and Brock Bowers, the rookie, at tight end.
Not good.
With Gardner Minshew.
There's the kicker right there.
He'll go 8-9. I don't think they'll be awful.
Well, their defense is good. And they finally have a coach I like. Although, I don't know. I'm not going to get too invested in.
Just go to the Bears, a team you actually care about.
I do kind of like the Bears.
Well, you have for years. That's why I was surprised that you didn't go with the Bears.
I have the Justin Fields, if you want to hear it. He's Russell Wilson coming down the pipe.
I don't want to hear it, Max. And what I'll do is walk out of here if you play it.
You will?
Walk out of your house?
Yeah. I'll walk out.
It's not very nice.
He's going to leave us
Nobody
here
Nobody wants to hear that stuff.
I mean, it is a little bit in the distant past.
And
I think I'm over it.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Fields has a decent year in Pittsburgh once they figure out that Russell Wilson can't play anymore.
Well, if he does, then Justin won't get to play anymore.
What do you mean?
If Russell Wilson plays well,
he won't.
Fields won't get to
he's
play
incapable
ever again.
Of playing
He absolutely
well.
Will not.
I agree. I don't see it. He's done. So I think this might even be just a bit of a setup.
There's never been a player
but why
more
did you
done.
Bring him in? Why did they bring him in? That's the bigger
Pittsburgh
question.
Pittsburgh has worse weapons than what Denver had last year.
No question. George Pickens? He hasn't done anything yet.
They traded Deontay Johnson. I mean, what are we even doing over there?
I feel bad for Pittsburgh.
Yet they...
They win every
Tomlin
year.
Just over 500 every year. Just what he does.
I don't know how. This could be the year he doesn't. Because they can't start.
You say
Russell.
That every year.
Najee Harris is a good back.
Jaylen Warren's a good back.
George Pickens, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin. That's not a receiving core that scares you.
No.
No, those are cast-off guys.
But they'll have some guys on defense. They'll keep games low scoring, and that's what Pittsburgh does. The steel curtain, that's what those fans like.
So you got Russell Wilson out there basically to not be good on purpose.
I don't know how they think there.
That doesn't make any sense, though, because then why would you bring him in to start with, right? Like, why would you bring Russell Wilson in?
Great question.
If you don't want him to play anyway.
Mike Tomlin likes coaching defense. He likes low scoring tough-minded games.
Yeah, but that's only going to get you so far.
I don't know.
You're not going to beat the Chiefs that way. You're not going to beat Baltimore that way because their offenses are better than your defense.
I hear you. I can't vouch for it. I'm not defending it. But they will go 9-8 or 10-7 because that's what Pittsburgh
I'm not
does.
Sure. Well, wasn't Denver like 8-9 last year or something? So maybe.
Because these guys know how to coach. Love him or hate him, and I don't particularly like Sean Payton.
Who does?
But he can coach.
If Kevin James plays you in a movie.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. Can you?
Can't wait to see it. It came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I'm surprised he wasn't nominated. It's already been out.
Well, watch the movie. Yes. Watch the movie, and you'll know why he wasn't nominated.
Did you like it?
Not really.
It was bad.
It wasn't very good.
Oh, that's too bad.
It was rather really disappointing because I like Kevin James.
as well. But it
was your first mistake.
It was not
that
good.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, stop it.
Shut up, Jeff.
He's such a hack.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Now we're jumping into this.
There's that noise again, Max, that computer. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
That's on our computer.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Then turn it down.
I don't know how.
Don't mess with
it. Go to the volume and take the volume down.
I'm not going to turn the volume down because maybe that turns us down.
No, it doesn't.
I'm not messing with any volume.
No, you go to the volume button down there.
I'm not doing it.
Mess it, break.
You know what I'm going to do?
Tell me.
I'm
going
to go to your button and knock it off.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I don't have any buttons.
We got a game coming next. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
It is.
Time
to play the game on a Tuesday and what seems like a Monday after a holiday.
A little bit.
What's the game?
We're just going to name movie franchises back and forth. Maybe 10 rounds. Maybe 8, maybe 5. We'll see how it goes. And you get the number of points for how many movies in that franchise there have been.
Whew.
All right.
No, that won't do well here.
No, neither will. That's what my thought. So we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
You have to name the exact number of movies?
No, you just have to name a franchise, and you get the number.
I don't like this.
And you get the number of points.
I can't stand this category.
That's a good attitude to have going in.
I'm willing to try it, even though I might get crushed. Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Duda?
Yeah.
As the defending champion, you can decide whether to go first or second.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll say the Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious has 12 movies to its name so far.
Nice.
Bob.
Oh, I thought we had to name the movies.
No, you just got to name the franchise.
You get the number of points that they've made movies in the franchise.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not really that hard.
No.
You going to name one?
Well, at some point.
Well, anywhere is a good place to start.
At some point, I'll name one.
5 seconds.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings has 9 movies, and you have 9 points. Jason has 12 as we go.
And he's over there looking at his... I don't trust that.
He's playing Candy Crush.
I got a game going here.
Duda.
The Harry Potter movies.
Harry Potter, they've done 13 movies.
Oh, this is
in that
franchise.
This
game's fixed.
Why?
This is a ridiculous game.
I'm trying to think of some more now.
Shouldn't be that hard.
It's not as easy as you think it is.
Maybe not, but I mean, come on.
Star Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars has made 15 movies. It is 25, Jason. 24, Bob, into round 3.
That was my pick. Now I got to think. Okay.
Okay.
So I need movies that have a bunch.
Yes. You know the category.
I understand.
He's stalling.
He's stalling tactic.
I like the stalling.
And, just a conversational piece. Let's
5 seconds.
Try. I can't think of one.
Really?
I'm got to pass.
You're out?
That's a zero.
Yeah, thanks.
You're out on 2?
Thank you, man.
Goodness gracious.
That's Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Indiana Jones only has 5. So you didn't really take advantage, but you do lead 29-25 as we go.
And Duda may be cooked.
To round 4.
No, I got one. The X-Men.
X-Men, 14.
Oh no!
Movies have been made.
Oh no!
Now I'm going back to my Netflix thing, and I'm thinking of which ones I got on there. I got three more right now, just like
Batman.
39-29 Oh, Batman is going to do well for you. 28.
What?
28 Batman movies.
That's your ball game.
Well, it's over.
But, Jason.
No, don't give
him. I got to go.
This game is not over. I'll just say that.
I'm going to go with the Avengers.
You're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
Avengers have only made six.
What?
There have only been six Avengers movies.
All the side ones don't count?
40. No.
Well, it's 57.
You don't get the whole.
It's 57-45.
It is.
Before I even go to this one. Superman.
Superman has 12.
69-45
through 5.
Okay, Spider-Man.
Uh-oh.
Spider-Man has 13.
Uh-oh. 69-58. Gosh.
You guys.
Were we missing obvious ones?
You're missing a super obvious one.
Really?
We're missing a super obvious
super
one?
Yeah. Probably in the game for one of you.
Really?
Probably.
I thought that would have been Star Wars.
Nope.
Man. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman has 2.
What?
71-58.
What?
We go to round 7 of hopefully 10. If you guys can keep producing.
I don't know what this obvious one is, man. I can't think of it.
I don't either.
I'll go with the dinosaurs, Jurassic Park.
Oh, I know what it is.
Jurassic Park.
It's over.
Has 7. 65 for Jason.
What is it?
It just ended.
71.
Star Trek.
Well, that's not it.
What?
Star Trek hasn't had a ton of...
Star Trek has 15.
What?
86-65.
Oh, I'm getting hammered.
You are still in this game if you just come up with the number one...
I don't see how.
Franchise. There's actually another one that you'll never think of.
Because it's not the Marvels, because that's Avengers.
But it's higher.
Right? The Marvels and Avengers. So it can't be the whole Marvel thing.
Yeah. 5 seconds. I'm not giving Marvel.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's a good guess. They have 5.
Ugh.
Well, I don't know.
You don't get 45 for Marvel.
How many more do we have? How many rounds we got?
This is round 8. You got 2 more.
Huh.
2 more rounds to go. 3 for Bob.
You got 3.
You're going to kick yourself. I wonder if Max knows it.
James Bond.
There you go.
That was my next. I waited one. Dang it.
That's probably going to be your ball game. Yeah. 27. 113 to 70. Although there is one. You'll never think of it.
What do you mean I'll never think of it?
Neither of you will. That has enough to get you back into the game.
And it's a movie franchise.
Yes. Can I give you...
No, because then he'll get mad if I get it. So don't do that. Like, what else is there? Mission Impossibles?
There's one for you.
That's a good one. 8. Through 9, it's 78 for you. Next, Bob.
I can't. King Kong.
These are all good guesses. Again, I don't expect you to get the one that is real high. That has 7. 120 to 78.
Haven't I shut him out? He only has one more guess.
Yes, you can't win it, even with the big one. But I will say it
Godzilla.
Has...
Godzilla.
Good guess.
That's a good one.
Godzilla's had 12. So you end your game with 90, which is solid. You needed a guess in round 3. Really would have helped you. And your final guess?
I don't even know if I need to make it.
You don't, but you might as well give it a shot.
Golly. Who's a movie star that's had a franchise? Well, The Rock.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any.
Like, yeah. Tom Cruise, we already said his.
Yeah, he's got Mission Impossible. Tom Hanks doesn't really have a... Denzel doesn't really have...
No. Give me the name of the actor that's most associated with this franchise.
Margot Robbie, I guess.
Margot Robbie?
Because there are a lot of animated movies.
Barbie?
Barbie.
Yes. 35.
Never would have. Not a chance.
Would have never guessed Barbie.
Here's some others. Pokemon 20. Scooby-Doo 18. Strawberry Shortcake 18. Air Bud 15. Halloween 14. Lego
Halloween.
13.
Friday the 13th.
Godzilla 12, I believe. Yeah, they have 12. National Lampoon has 12. Pink Panther 11. Rocky 10, Despicable Me 10, Saw 10, Peanuts 10.
There you go.
9.
Star Wars kind of did it for me.
I can't believe I let that one.
Oh, Batman and James Bond is what did it for me.
After I said it, I was like, James Bond, and then Grandpa over here.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Grandpa? Bond.
Well, you're the only Grandpa in the room.
Why are you calling me Grandpa?
You're the only Grandpa in the room.
It's true.
Had a derogatory sound to it. Grandpa over here.
Well, it is true.
There was a little bit of derogatory in that. Yes.
Right. I sensed it.
Well, I'm glad you did.
And it was unnecessary.
It was more than necessary.
You're just bitter you lost.
I'm bitter I didn't think of it. I'm not bitter I lost. I should have thought of Bond. And Star Wars should have been one of the first.
You know, over the weekend, I watched a movie for the very first time, and it's shameful that it took me this long. Called Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly, and of course directed by Alfred Hitchcock. So I'm on this Hitchcock run now. I'm going to watch A Dial M for Murder, which I've never seen, North by Northwest, some of the classics, which Jeff would never do.
Oh, I love those.
No, he can't even get him to watch an old hockey movie for crying out loud.
So I'm going to... that's kind of one of the things I'm doing. And then I'm binge-watching Newhart. You ever heard of it?
Yeah, I used to watch it all the time.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it is. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Oh, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Like, I can't wait for my wife to get home so we can get going on Newhart tonight.
Can't blame you. Can't.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's whatever.
See, there's my
really
son.
I don't know if I think anything of it.
Well, if it's not his thing, it's not his thing.
No, I like Newhart. I'd be happy to watch. I watched Newhart back in the day, believe it or not.
I would say that of all the comedians who have ever lived, he may have the best timing of any of them.
He's hilarious.
He's just so good in this show. You know, everybody else is great.
And he's deadpan.
But he wraps it all up. You know what I mean? Without him, it's nothing.
I feel you.
So good. All right, we'll take a break. You don't get insights like this on many other shows.
Absolutely not.
We go from me ripping up a category.
Oh, here we go.
To then offering you that astute analysis of Newhart.
I mean, he did well.
Oh, it's
average of 12 per guest.
Our friend Mike Cooper from Vibe, who had suggested... James Bond.
Really? So he's trying to cheat?
Yep, that's what it sounds like to me.
Apparently he was trying to help me cheat, but I didn't see the text until the break.
I like that, Mike. Not good.
Wow.
Well, I got friends out there.
I believe. Wow.
And I believe
that victory is now nullified.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute.
I can't prove
when a judge,
that information did not get to you before.
Well, but your father...
What time did that text come in?
Is telling you.
Well, no. Just whatever time the text came in.
Give us a timestamp on that text.
Yeah.
Well, it came in during the game, but I didn't see it.
Disqualified.
I did not see it until the break.
Well, sometimes a tennis player doesn't hear the coaching they get from the stands from their coach, but you still can't do it.
It's true.
What do you mean you can't do it?
Well, you can't coach during a tennis match.
From the stands, no.
You can't coach your daughter?
No, I'm not allowed to say anything. Like, literally...
It's crazy. At these tennis matches, you can't say nothing. You can clap. You can say good shot. You can say good rally. You can. That's it. You can't say it's long line or up. It's short or leave it or you can't nothing.
You can't get upset with a call?
My daughter in her freshman year, I'm not going to say where we were at because people would know the coach then, but she rolled her ankle. So in between when they were crossing over to switch sides, I went up to her and just said, hey, are you okay? Do we need to put some ice on it? And I got reprimanded because I'm not allowed to talk to the
They were talking players. About that over at Mays South.
No, it wasn't Mays South.
Well, there are only a select number of tennis coaches that we know by name, and
you wouldn't know this one.
If that person wants to call and defend himself, then sure.
Well, maybe they will.
It's not going to be. I don't think this person will.
Now, is tennis season ongoing right now?
Starting.
Too?
Yeah. So Jackson,
you got tennis and soccer.
Yeah. So afternoons are a shot. Tuesdays, Thursdays for sure.
Well, until the season's over.
Well, yeah. But if it's soccer, they don't start till 4:45. So
yeah, you're
that's
good.
Okay.
What about tennis?
Avery Thursdays has got a 1 o'clock tournament.
Well, we can't count on you for Thursdays.
No.
But you will make picks on.
Not every Thursday, but it's because they rotate. But mostly Tuesdays, Thursdays.
But
there's some Mondays.
But you'll need to make picks on Thursdays, which you should be able to handle that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, getting the car rolled down the window, you'll be good.
Yeah, and we got
the car rolled down the window.
Yeah, it'll be cool outside in the fall, and you'll be good.
All right. Yeah, no, picks should be okay.
And we'll do that again coming up this Thursday. Tomorrow on the show, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be amongst our guests as we, Thursday night.
Isn't that crazy already? It ends and it's like, God, it's going to take forever for this football season to get here. And now we have 2 days and it's starting.
When you're when we're talking about doing picks and maybe you want to get, make some of your picks of your own, you know what you can do? Because FanDuel's got something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th pregame Moneyline Bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday. That's the 6th of September. View your account page now to learn more about your boost, Jason. I know you have an account page.
With where?
FanDuel?
I do have a FanDuel account.
Everybody has a FanDuel account.
Who wouldn't?
I rarely use it. No offense, FanDuel, but I don't gamble.
I was going to make a little prop bet on the Guardians-Royals game yesterday, but I was in Missouri, and I couldn't do it.
Good for you.
Cross the border.
Yep.
No soup for
you. You can certainly do it tonight.
I might.
You won't.
Two steals for Jose Ramirez? Oh, man, I would retire. Two plus.
He ain't going to steal two bags.
He's got to get to 40-40. He's got to get moving.
He's not stealing two bags.
Joey's going to get to 50-50.
I understand, but 40-40 is still pretty cool.
40-40 is great. How many home runs for Jose?
34.
Not going to make it.
That's going to be tough.
Not going to hit six?
Nope.
I bet he does.
What's Shohei at?
45-44 or something.
Some ridiculous number.
That's pretty good.
I think he's at 45-46.
Something.
And he stole two bases, two or three yesterday. And watch some of that D-backs Dodgers series. Tonight, Shohei goes back to Anaheim. That'll be interesting.
Could be. Should be.
I'll probably tune in, if I remember, for his first at bat.
Just see what kind of ovation 9,000 in attendance give him.
I was going to say there are not going to be enough people there. Maybe if he's there, there might be, I guess.
There'll be a good crowd there tonight. It's the Dodgers. The Dodgers crowd will fill the stadium.
Most likely.
That's true.
Not that far to go, you understand.
Understandable.
See, you listen to Jeff there. And that's your mistake.
I listened to Jeff there?
Yeah. The 900 that'll be there.
Well, said 9,000.
Because Jeff,
right off the hop, that's true. Then you said the Dodgers are there, so now it makes more sense. There will be more.
Right. So why don't you just listen to me?
Well, because you're not. You think you're right all the time, but sometimes you slip.
What about you? You slip.
All the time. But I can admit when I slip. You guys got to fight and make something else up. I don't say you.
I slip occasionally, but I didn't slip there because obviously Dodgers fans are going to go over there to the Big A and fill that place.
Angels will never be so happy.
It was interesting to watch them in Arizona because the third base stands were full of Diamondbacks fans. I mean, that's a good baseball team.
Yeah.
But the first base side had so many Dodgers fans. It was kind of fun to watch that give and take. Have we lost the third member of our...
Man, I'm trying to find a box score from an Angels-Dodgers game played in Anaheim, L.A., whatever. I can't.
Well, they haven't played there this year.
But they've played there in the past, last year, I assume.
But when Shohei wasn't with the Dodgers.
I understand that, but I still want to see what kind of crowd they got.
Well, they got a big crowd.
July 9th, 2023. Attendance
5,057. 55,000.
It definitely doesn't say 53,057.
See? He's trying to get me.
Oh, that was at Dodger Stadium. This sucks.
That he might have been right there? Or exactly. The fact that you can't find it? Or both?
It's
Here's another one.
It's 45 minutes from
the
Dodgers play to where the Angels play.
Well, no wonder there's so many there.
That's depending on the traffic, of course. But it's not like it's a million miles away.
Well, then that makes more sense.
They are both in Los Angeles, you understand.
Los Angeles Dodgers, Anaheim. Just a second.
No, they're the Los Angeles
Angels. They're not in Los Angeles.
They're in Anaheim.
Correct. That's not Los Angeles.
Did you find what you wanted?
No, I didn't yet. How much time do we have?
I don't know.
Oh, here's one. 9,000, it says.
You're a liar.
That last night's game against Pittsburgh?
Exactly.
You're a liar.
I couldn't find one. But I will.
We'll find one, and we'll report back tomorrow.
Exactly. No one will forget about that.
There's nothing more important to us than proving the other one wrong.
Isn't that the truth? 100%. I can't argue that at all. Can't argue for either one of you on that.
Proving anybody wrong is pretty fun, but proving each other wrong is especially
fun.
Which
you do so little of.
Thank you.
But I appreciate the effort.
You're welcome.
Duda, good to see you. Good, but let us know how the soccer game goes.
I'll shoot you some text.
In sincerity.
All right. And your draft.
Let us know who wins 1-0.
And then you have to throw a shot
I had to
in.
Get that in.
You know, you try to be sincere, and I'm actually starting to buy it, and then you do that.
Why do I exist?
Well, you're consistent. I'll give you that.
No, we do want to know.
I think we're off the air.
I at least want to know. And you can include Jeff. And if the youngster happens to score a goal or make an assist, I'd like to know that,
I'll
too.
I'll let you know how it goes this afternoon. You'll know by 6:30.
There you go. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. To Max Power back in the studio, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.